الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفر ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعصي ما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم وقد قال تبارك وتعالى واعبدوا الله ولا تشركوا به شيئا وبالوالدين إحسانا وبذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين والجار ذي القربى والجار الجنب والصاحب بالجنب وابن السبيل وما ملكت إيمانكم إن الله لا يحب من كان مختالا فخورا صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My most respected elders and brothers in Islam, very often we hear that we are living in a Sikh society. What does a Sikh society mean? This phrase, when you speak about it, it refers to a society which is full of dangers. Dangers to our physical self and dangers to our spiritual self also. In other words, there are many, many sicknesses in the world today. One is the physical sicknesses which we have, then you'll go to a doctor. But similarly, we have a lot of spiritual sicknesses which we have to go to the pious, that is the spiritual doctors, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to cure ourselves. But one of those spiritual sicknesses is selfishness. If you look in the world today, then we are being taught that we should only worry about ourselves, not of the next person. So the world promotes everyone in the world and the things in the world, they promote selfishness, whereas Islam and the Deen promotes selflessness. In the world today, they promote that we should be asking for our rights instead of thinking of our responsibilities. Whereas Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had ingrained in the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that more important than rights is responsibilities. He did not say that you're not allowed to ask for your rights, but he said that we should be more concerned about our responsibilities than the rights. I recited a verse in the fifth para where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about 8 categories of people where we should fulfill their rights. I don't wish to speak about the actual verse itself, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. that worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means fulfill the rights of Allah first. The rights of huququllah and the rights of Allah first. وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا, and do not ascribe any partners to Allah subhanahu. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and then you fulfill the rights of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is your parents. وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ, and then your relatives, then the orphans, etc. The ayat goes to this extent that the ayat speaks about a neighbor. You get different levels of neighbors also. Well, جَارِ الْجُنُبْ, one is a neighbor who is close to you, and one is a neighbor who is further away from you, far away from you. They also got rights. وَصَوْحِبِي بِالْجَمْ, look how beautiful the Quran is, how beautiful our deen is. That even that person who is next to you, even for that few moments, whether it be in salah, whether it be that you are traveling somewhere, whether it be you are standing in line for something, but we are governed from the side of Shariat, that person also has rights. وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ, those people that are under your service, they also have got rights. Muhaddithun and Mufassirin have mentioned, وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ also includes even animals also. They are under our care, or not under our care. They also got rights. After mentioning these eight groups, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ مُخْتَالًا فَخُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love those people who are arrogant and boastful. Mufassirin speak about what is the link with these two evil qualities and all the rights that were mentioned on the top. Is that when a person is arrogant and a person is proud, then a person will not fulfill anyone's rights. He only thinks about himself. Under this ayat in Tafsir Madarik al-Tanzil, the author mentions that there are four types of people. Two are evil, two are good. The first person is الَّذِي يَأْكُلُ وَلَا يُؤْكِلُ. He eats, he's worried about himself, but he's not worried about the next person. What happens to the next person? The whole world dies, burns, we're not worried. As long as I'm safe, I'm worried about myself. Ibn al-Jawzi has mentioned in Sifatul Safwa, he speaks of Sari Saqati Rahimullah, who was the sheikh of Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullahi. He was also the uncle of Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullahi, and he was also his sheikh. And he says that Hamidullah marratan wa astaghfirullah mundu thalathina. Once I said Alhamdulillah, and because of that Alhamdulillah, I'm seeking forgiveness for 30 years. I will say it's strange. You said Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah is something good. But why are you seeking forgiveness for that? So someone asked him, why are you seeking forgiveness? You said, Alhamdulillah. He said, once, where my shop was, I had my shop, and there were other shops around me, and we heard that the shops were burning. So I also got worried. I woke up to go and check up, and as I was going to my shop, someone passed me and said, there's nothing for you to worry about. Everyone else's shop burnt, your shop never burned. So because of that, I said, Alhamdulillah. But then I thought to myself that I was only happy with my shop. That I said, Alhamdulillah, my shop is safe. But I never think of all the other people. I never think of all the other people. I could have made dua for them also. Oh Allah, relieve them also from their people's difficulty. Now see how far they are thinking. A person is not only worried about himself, he's worried of others also. So the first evil quality, الَّذِي يَأْكُلُ وَلَا يُؤْكِلُ. He's eating, he's worried about himself, but he's not worried about the next person. And if a person does not cure himself, go to the pious and cure himself from the sickness of bukhal and stinginess, then it will fester, and he brings us to the second group, which he mentions that alladhi la ya'kulu wa la yu'kilu. Is that person, he doesn't eat also, and he doesn't give others also. Meaning, he's not worried about himself, he's not worried about the next person. And this is a level of shuh, which the Quran speaks of, is a higher level of stinginess. And Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Then a person is not worried, he's only worried about building his empire. He's only worried about what is his status in front of people. Even this, when there's a need also, he won't even spend. An incident is mentioned by the Buzurgan Deen. In India, normally the Baniyas, they are known for their wealth also, and they're known for their stinginess also. So one person is about to die, he got so much of wealth, he got so much of money, he's about to die, but he's asking the doctors how much it will cost me for me to live. When they gave him the figure, he said, I'd rather die than live. Now that person, he's not even worried, he got all the money, but he's not worried about his own life. So this is the second group of alladhi la yakulu wa la yukilu. He will not eat it, and he'll not even benefit others also. The third group, now we're going to the good. Those are the two groups, those are the evil. The third group is alladhi yakulu wa yukilu. Is the one that eats. That means he worries about himself also. Why you kill when he worries of others also? Which is a praiseworthy quality, but it's not the best. And then the fourth is alladhi la yaakulu wa yu'kilu. Is that person who doesn't worry about himself so much, but is more concerned of others. Others come first. Yes, a person has to worry about himself. Shariat says that you should worry about yourself. But the concern of others is before him. He's worrying more about others. And every day we see this in front of us. We see a mother and a parents to a child. Once in the presence of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Aisha radhiyallahu anha said, a person, a lady came, she had her two children. She had a children, and she came and begged for something. So I gave her two dates. And now, she said, I took one date, I split it into half, I gave it to one child, gave it to the other child, hoping to eat the other one. And before she could even put that one into her mouth, the children already ate that half, and they're asking her for the other half. And we know the love of the mother. Despite her hunger and everything, she split that one too also and gave it to the children. That is the love of the mother. Selfless. Not worried about yourself. You worried about the next person. Abdullah bin Huzafa Sahmi Ibn Kathir has mentioned his incident. That Abdullah bin Huzafa Sahmi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was captured by the Romans. In the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And now he comes in front of the king, and the king told him that become a Christian. I will give you half my kingdom, and I'll get you married to my daughter also. Sahaba was Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. No sahabi we can ever point a finger at. Those eyes that have seen Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sahabi says, you can offer me your whole kingdom also. All the kingdom of the Arabs also, I won't leave my deen. I won't leave Medina. In one riwayat is mentioned, Ibn Kathir mentions that they put him into prison. And they never offer him anything to eat. They kept him hungry. And everything. And after a few days, they even offered him wine and khinzir also. And they told him to eat. He said, you see, our Sharia told us that it is permissible for me to eat. But I'm not going to eat it. Because it will make you happy. And you are trying to break me, you see. But I will not. I will not eat it. Then after the king, what he did? He took a big, you see, like a cauldron, full of oil, boiling hot oil. And he took one of the other sahaba, one of the other companions, and he put him into that boiling oil. And we can imagine what had happened to him. He wanted to frighten the sahabi. But the sahabi never budged. Day after, then the king says, now take him and put him into that oil. And as they were taking him to put him into the oil, he started crying. So the guard sent the message to the king. He's crying. So the king thought that he may have changed his mind. So he called him back. He says, why are you crying? He says, I'm crying that I only got one life to give to in the path of Allah. I wish I had much more lives to give in the path of Allah. Then the king realized that this person is something else. So he told him, all right, you kiss me on my forehead and you're free. You kiss me on my forehead and you're free. So he thought to himself that to kiss the king on the forehead is nothing against Sharia. It's nothing against, it's not, you know, sin. But he said, but before I kiss you, I mustn't be the only one that is released. All my companions must be released. He's in such a situation, he didn't think that the king might just change his mind and say no. He's not only thinking about himself, he's thinking about all the companions. He said, no, I'll kiss you on the condition that all of us are free. And the king accepted. And he kissed the king on the forehead and all of them were free. When they come in front of Umar radiallahu ta'anhu, Umar radiallahu ta'anhu said that every person that is here will kiss his forehead now. And I will be the first one to kiss his forehead. But the point I want to make is that despite the situation, he did not worry about himself only. He was selflessly worried about everyone else also. Now this is just with human beings. When this condition becomes even higher, then we'll be able to even give preference to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over everything else. When this quality of selflessness comes into us, then it's no more us. It's Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also. Hazrat Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him on an expedition with 10 other sahaba, with 9 other sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Anyway, they were ambushed and 7 of the sahaba were killed and 3 of them were taken captives. Hazrat Khubayb radiallahu anhu was one of them. So he was taken prisoner and he was staying in Makkah al-Mukarramah in chains. And from the unseen, in the riwayat of Bukhari, from the unseen, food used to come for him. The kuffar even said that we haven't seen a prisoner of war like him. From the unseen, food used to come. When he was about to be killed, then they told him, أَتُحِبُّ أَن تَكُونَ أَتُحِبُّ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا فِي مَكَانِكَ. Do you love that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in your place now and you sitting in your home resting? And he replied that I will never be happy. لَوْ شِيكَ شَوْكَةً. Even if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was even pricked with a thorn and I'm sitting in my home, I won't even rest also. So this is the quality when you have the selflessness in you, then you give preference to everyone else over yourself. You give preference to everyone else over yourself. And this is the quality that our love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam demands. We can say with our tongues that we love Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But how much are we prepared to sacrifice for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? I'll end off with the incident. Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was sent to Yemen. Yemen was a big place. And there was the eastern side and the western side. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent two sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. One was Mu'adh bin Jabal, and the other was Abu Musa Ash'ari, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And it was the habit of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whenever he would send a sahabi, then he would walk out with him, out to the outskirts, giving him advice, etc. While he's riding, Nabi Sallam is walking, giving him advice. And Nabi Sallam is telling him that after this meeting, you will not see me again. After this meeting, you will not see me again. When you come back, you won't see me. Now the love of the Sahaba Ranum, we cannot even explain. The Sahabi could have told Nabi Sallam, Ya Rasulullah, why are you telling me to go? I wish to stay with you. I wish to stay with you. I want to be with you, Ya Rasulullah. But the Sahabi is tearing as Nabi Sallam is telling him. But despite that, he still continues. And in the end, Nabi Sallam turned away. Maybe he was tearing also. And Nabi Sallam was turning away, and then Nabi Sallam told him, Inna awla an-nasi bi al-muttaqun min ayna kanu haythu kanu. That the closest people to me are those people who live a life of taqwa. They can be wherever they are. The munafiqeen were staying right next to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sitting in a majlis of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they never benefited. And you can be far, but you are following everything that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants you to do, and then you are closest to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another sahabi, Abdullah bin Rawaha, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in a riwayat of Mishkat, it also comes in Bukhari also, that once Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent an expedition and he was one of them to go. And it happened to be the day of Jum'ah, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him to leave after Fajr. This sahabi, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, thinking to himself that today is the day of Jum'ah, I would like to sit and get Jum'ah with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I got a very fast conveyance. After Jum'ah, I will leave, I will catch up with my other companions. What a noble intention. What a noble intention. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stands up for the khutbah on the day of Jum'ah, and he sees this sahabi there, and he asks him after the Jum'ah, didn't I dispatch you all after Fajr? What are you doing here? What are you still doing here? He says, Ya Rasulullah, and he explained to him that I wanted to read my Jum'ah with you. I wanted to read my Jum'ah with you. So then, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you see those Sahaba, radiallahu anhu, who left when I told them to leave, the reward that they have got, you will not get that reward. Why? Because they did exactly what I told them to do. So it's not our wishes anymore, it is the wishes of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it can be an ibadat, it can be a worship, it can be a good deed. But if that good deed is not done the way Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam want us to do it, then no matter how good intentions we have also, it's not acceptable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the lesson that we learn from today is that one of the evil qualities that we have amongst us is the quality of selfishness. Whereas it was the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the quality that he promoted and he brought into the lives of sahaba radhiyallahu anhum was the quality of selflessness. That you give preference to others over yourself. Therefore Allah Ta'ala praises the Ansar in the Quran. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَ, that they give preference to others over themselves, even though they may be needy. We made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that all the beautiful qualities that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had, Allah Ta'ala give us a true love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and bring those qualities into our lives. وَآخِرُ الدَّعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ.